Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Canucks with a big win last night at Rogers Arena over the Winnipeg Jets. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Get in your thoughts, your questions, your comments, your interactions, if you are listening live, of course, at the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. And for those listening on podcast, you can always interact via Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, and get in a text that way. Questions for the mailbag, ideas for overrated, underrated, as we are going to have today, you can always do so via our many social accounts. What a game last night, Sat.
Exciting, fun,
yeah,
enjoyable night of hockey.
Canucks can score off the rush.
They can, and they can score some nice goals.
Yeah.
I mean, so two of the last three games, they've scored six goals.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have been really nice goals.
Very nice.
Is that maybe who they are?
Is their identity finally starting to take shape?
Well, first it was the worst team in the league.
Yes.
Then they did it against the best team in the league.
Yeah. So you maybe somewhere in the middle? Is that where we're landing on? I mean, can they get maybe to four more often? That would be nice.
You're only as good as your last game.
Yeah.
And their last game was pretty good.
But the game before that was pretty not good.
Yeah, not great.
they generated you could count the amount of scoring chances on one hand in the game against Utah.
And honestly, I can totally understand why most Canucks fans are guarded.
Yeah.
Some are like completely unconvinced, despite it being exciting and fun, because they've seen something along these lines before, but they haven't been able to sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're in the playoff race. 14 games to go, reach. And, you know, if Besser and Pettersson get hot, Pettersson has a 5-game point streak. Besser scored goals.
I'm not going to say I called it on the pregame show yesterday, but I did hint at it that Besser and Pettersson were finally going to start finding some chemistry together.
Yeah, no, you did call
and Rick
that.
Tockett basically put it out there like, yeah, these guys need to score. Like, they got to figure it out. We need them. But you mentioned we have seen these kinds of performances, and yeah, we have on a number of occasions, like the games against Toronto this year where the Canucks look great. Couple of times against Colorado, they've really looked good against the Avs. You have that one game against Florida earlier in the season, and the problem is you can only count these performances on one hand when they've looked like this. And at this point of the year, it's kind of like, well, yeah, you know, you're a pretty mid hockey team. You can every once in a while you'll put it all together in a game and it looks great, but you'll also have nights like Sunday and other nights where the Canucks have really looked off the pace, and you're just going to get a mixed bag of everything because you're not a finished product as a hockey team. And that's what the Canucks are.
Yeah.
As we know.
And they've admitted that they are in transition. And I feel like when you mention that, you also hear, and I know people listening are saying, well, that's not what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be contenders. And what about winning a Stanley Cup? Now it's about just playing meaningful games. I don't disagree. Like, the bar should be the Stanley Cup, obviously, right? The expectations should have been higher. They were higher.
They were, like, 7 months ago, they were a lot higher.
They were.
And but, you know, the equation's kind of changed with everything that's happened.
That's kind of where I'm just looking at it the rest of this season.
Just be logical about the situation.
That's where I'm at with you, too, because I find, like, we can go over all that stuff, but to some degree, it's grandstanding.
We've done it all season long.
Yeah, you know? But so it's like these final 14 games have to play out.
Yeah,
there's value in these games. Obviously, yeah, you want to see these players play real important games in the playoffs and deep playoff runs. That's what you want to see, no doubt about it. But the reality is these are the 14 games in front of you, and you have to find a way to get the most out of it. And you know what? I think if they don't make the playoffs,
yeah,
I think there will be lots of criticism about everything that's gone on in addition to everything prior.
Mm-hmm.
But the games have to be played still.
Criticism is definitely warranted, but you're lying to yourself if you don't think the equation has changed as the season's gone on with everything that's happened behind the scenes with the Vancouver Canucks. That's just the reality of the situation. It's not great, but it is what it is. I do feel like they might have found something last night with how they paired up their defense. Let's get to the open.
Welcome to the open.
That's your home.
Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
I'm a big grandstander. I'm a big pat myself on the back kind of a guy. So that's what we're going to do here in the Open today. It is the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And I don't know, not many eons ago, but earlier this season when the Canucks were sans Philip Hronek in the lineup and Hughes and Myers seemed to develop into this strong pair, elite by the numbers, giving you similar results to what Hughes and Hronek had been giving you before Philip Hronek went down with injury. And, you know, a lot's happened since then. Hronek came back. Hughes went out. Hronek had to hold the fort for a little while, and he's done that. They brought in Marcus Pettersson. So a lot's happened through the season on defense. But then when Hughes came back into the lineup, he went straight back next to Philip Hronek. And Pettersson, Marcus Pettersson, and Myers went together. And it hasn't really clicked. Last night, the change was Hughes back with Myers, Marcus Pettersson with Philip Hronek, and the results it produced helped the Canucks to that 6-2 win over the Winnipeg Jets. Has the Canucks coaching staff found a way to make their defense work at an optimal level?
I think that because the Canucks also lack as much as they do offensively, I love the idea of having Hronek and Hughes on separate pairs and providing that push from the back end, essentially every shift, right?
Yeah.
And even when you get to the third pair, now you have guys that can at the very least do the simple things well. So you're not even looking at it being, you know, this big black hole that you have to gloss over. So for all the critical moments, 5-on-5,
yeah,
you have either Hughes or Hronek on the ice. And they're paired with guys they're excelling with.
Yeah.
You saw Hronek and Pettersson have a really nice night last night. Now, I thought Pettersson got dusted by Ehlers pretty good. But then, you know, those things are going to happen. Yeah. When you have a quick player like Ehlers and a big defenseman, they're going to have moments where, you know, they're going to get dusted. But outside of that, he's been terrific defensively. And I think you get the best out of Pettersson, like we talked about, putting him next to somebody who moves the puck efficiently.
We always take a grain of salt with some of the expected numbers and some of those analytics, but just for context, Hughes Hronek have been at 57% this year. Hughes Myers have been at 57.4% this year. And actually, by the number of goals, Hughes and Myers are over 70% on the ice, where Hughes and Hronek are closer to 50%. You know, and if you bring in Pettersson Myers into that equation, their expected numbers are down in the low 40s as a pair. So you are optimizing Hughes and Myers because they've been good together all season. Now the early returns on Pettersson and Hronek are also like, hey, we can also have a second pair that really clicks as well.
Yeah.
And isn't just a strictly shutdown pair.
And I think in a game against a team like Winnipeg, and we've talked about this against the higher end teams, like, can you afford to have those two guys together? As good as they are together, Hughes and Hronek, can you afford to sacrifice all the other ice time? I don't think the Canucks are good enough for them to be able to pair Hughes and Hronek together.
Yeah.
And I think last night was a perfect example of how that can succeed against a really good hockey team in the Winnipeg Jets. And the other thing that's impressive, you mentioned just the expected goals for. How about just the goals for?
Right. Yeah.
So goals for Tyler Myers with Quinn Hughes, 21 goals for 5-on-5.
Yeah.
8 against.
Pretty good.
That's a 72.4% goals for percentage. Now, him and Hronek, it's also good. It's 24 and 23, however, at 51%.
Yeah.
Like as far as the goals for and against with Myers, it's astronomical here. Like, we're talking 72% of the goals are happening in the Canucks' favor.
There's only one pair in the league that's played over 300 minutes together this season that has a better goals for rate on the ice. It's not one you would expect.
It's probably the minutes they probably don't even have, like, nearly. Said how many minutes have
it's,
they played?
310 minutes. Logan Stanley and Miller on Winnipeg.
That makes sense. I mean, they're the third pair.
Yeah.
They get some sheltered minutes, and they're on the best team.
Yeah.
Results-wise so far this year.
But Hughes and Myers are second with how they've done this season. it's been an elite pair. It's been a pair that you can rely on. It's been a pair that really pushes good results for the Canucks on the ice. I don't know what's clicked into Tyler Myers. You may say, like, it doesn't make sense. Hughes and Hronek are going to be better over the long haul. Sure, right now it's really working with Hughes and Myers, and I think that's the best course of action for this coaching staff to keep going forward with.
Ultimately, we can sit here and talk about analytics and all that all we want, right?
Now you can talk about how much you don't trust Tyler Myers, but it's against what the facts are right now.
And that's what it comes down to. To me, at the end of the day, what's the biggest fact in hockey? Goals for and against.
Yes.
Right? Now, I know plus minus is a bad stat, but it's more about, like, when you look at pairings and you look at 5-on-5 minutes, you isolated the way we are, and we're looking at it at over 300 minutes. That's a significant amount of minutes. When you're talking big sample sizes, the results are the most important things to look at. At the very least, it's your hottest hand.
Yeah.
And why not keep dealing your hottest hand until that doesn't work anymore? That's what you would look at it. Even if it's something that's not going to last beyond this year, or it's not going to last beyond 2 months, why go away from something that's working better than anything else in the league at that rate?
Yeah.
And the best result is scoring more than the opponent, right? That's the whole purpose of what you're trying to accomplish here. So when you have something that efficient, why would you go away from it?
You can't right now. And I think this is it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Hronek, Myers were on for a goal against, as you mentioned, the Nick Ehlers goal last night, but they were also on the ice for 2 goals for as well. So that really looks good. Hronek's had a really strong season signing that contract, and he's maybe after a slow start has really looked good for the Vancouver Canucks, and his offensive numbers have started to pick up lately. Myers has been really good. I know a lot of people didn't love the idea of having Nikita Zadorov go off to Boston, and realistically, the Canucks offered at or pretty much right where Boston offered, so Zadorov just chose to go to another place. But having Myers still here, you know, certainly Myers at 3 more years of $3 million is a lot more palatable than what that Zadorov contract would have looked like on this team, at least from my perspective.
So as far as his total points are concerned, Myers is in the same range of guys like Rasmus Anderson this season and Brock Faber as far as right-hand defensemen go.
Yeah.
He's top 30 in scoring among right-hand defensemen in the league.
Yeah. It's impressive.
And for $3 million, it's actually a pretty good deal.
You know, for all the negative value you had on Myers' first contract with the Vancouver Canucks, you're getting almost surplus value now with what he's given you this year as a $3 million contract.
And I know, again, if you look at his numbers now overall on the season, I'm sure the analytics would still probably say that he's been a replacement level player or slightly above along those lines. But the longer he plays with Quinn, those numbers are going to get better.
Yeah.
And his raw production has been very impressive. And we're not talking about him scoring a lot on the power play here. Like, this guy's doing this 5-on-5.
Yeah. It's been a really strong season. Just a fun tidbit from some of the numbers that we were diving through today on Canucks D pairs.
Yeah.
And who's actually had success.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to bring up Eric Brännström?
Mm-hmm. Eric Brännström and Vincent Desharnais have of D pairs that have played more than 100 minutes together with the Canucks are the second best by goals for on the ice to Hughes and Myers.
Okay, so how many goals for and against?
I don't have the exact number. I just had the percentage here written down.
It might be like 5 goals for, but like 1 against.
It was
like really good. Yeah. Or like 5 goals for, 3 against.
Their first couple of games, they were great in extremely sheltered minutes.
Yeah, they had that. Yeah. They did have that stretch where a couple goals got scored. Brännström scored a couple goals. And it looked really good.
But they're now both off to greener pastures. Or less greener pastures. Yes. I don't know. Desharnais in San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose.
Brännström's off in Buffalo. So that's, Buffalo. Sorry, Brännström.
Both guys got traded. So Desharnais got traded twice. Brännström got traded twice. No, 3 times.
So he went from Colorado to Vancouver, Vancouver to New York. New York to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tough
scenes.
Tough scenes. Okay, on Zadorov, I know somebody always brings this up too. It's like, well,
by the way, just for those that were always pushing for Eric Brännström to be in the Canucks lineup, he can't even crack the Sabres lineup.
So. No, I mean, it's like, it goes without saying. I thought being traded 3 times would kind of make the point. You know,
that crowd really quieted down.
Nobody's saying anything.
No.
Yeah, it died real quick. But yes, I was the idiot.
The dozens of us.
But so on Zadorov, and I get this. I was just thinking about this real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
is the biggest failure on management as far as some of these negotiations, not so much what they're willing to offer and what they offer at the end, how they've gone about it. Because the Zadorov thing, and he spoke about how he felt disrespected because they didn't do it sooner, so to speak. Like, is that the biggest lesson for management here as far as like how they've gone with negotiations? Maybe even Besser too, because Besser talked about the last week being the second toughest week of his life, right?
Yeah.
As far as the trades go. We know how hurt he was by, you know, what Alvin said. Has that been like the biggest thing that they have to learn from here? Like the interpersonal relationship part of negotiating and handling these situations?
I think it's hard because negotiations can be hard and you're trying to drive a hard bargain in certain situations. What made it and amplified it, and you may think it's warranted or not, but the fact that they signed Pettersson right away, Marcus Pettersson, they signed Drew O'Connor right away. During the Four Nations break, they were like, we got to get Lankinen done.
Yeah.
You know, if they wanted to prioritize Brock, they would have. It's as simple as that. And so that can be hurtful. And so I understand that. But ultimately, I think you have to be, to a certain level, you have to be a little bit cutthroat to run an NHL front office. And in doing that, sometimes you're going to offend players, agents, whatever it may be, as you go through that process.
Yeah, it's
inevitable.
Yeah, I have no issues with being cutthroat. I really don't. And I think if anything, there was a reluctance to be that way here for a very long time. But I do think in general, just how you go about how you message things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think those things can go a long way in general, right?
The hardest part was what happened post-deadline, I think.
Yes. I think those more than anything else.
That's what really hurt the Brock relationship more than anything else.
And each person is different.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I do think the Canucks was, like, one thing I will say, like, even before they went to the $5 million, I think the Canucks, whether Zadorov felt this was disrespectful or not, but like I mentioned, like, they were above $4.5 million over 6 years.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
So I think we're not sitting here and talking about like they were offering him a 2-year deal at $10 million or they were offering him $3 million per year. Like, we're talking about the gap that they bridged at the end was $500K per year.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't like the Canucks never felt that they put a disrespectful offer out there for him. Just to be clear. Now, yeah, Everybody has their own side of the story, obviously, right? But, you know, that's just one thing to clarify. Because I remember being surprised when I told you, and this was in June, I'm like, I'm like, they're actually putting like almost, they're almost doing 5x6.
Yeah. And you know, people will go back to, like, the Brock one they could have handled better. I don't think, you know, anything with the Zadorov one really, to me, it smells like Zadorov wanted Boston more than he wanted Vancouver, and that was his explanation. If you go back to Horvat, you know, Horvat felt disrespected. I think that was just like, we offered you what we think you're worth, and you didn't accept it. Now we're just going down the path of we're eventually going to trade you. of course it's going to hurt Bo Horvat, right? But, you know, that's just part of doing business at times. All right, let's get to the Canucks Central Roundup here. And Canucks were off today, travel day, as they head out to St. Louis. Once called the Music City, only by me. St. Louis.
Yeah.
Like another pretty, like, it's basically a must-win game for the Vancouver Canucks.
If you look at the Blues schedule, mm-hmm, and the fact that they're 9-2-2 in their last 13.
Yeah.
So they picked up points in 11 of their last 13, like a real solid
this
run
is
that they're on.
An unbelievable run. There's only two teams since the Four Nations break that have been better than the St. Louis Blues.
And I think they're playing, what, three playoff teams the rest of the way?
Yep. They're playing Colorado twice. They've got Winnipeg mixed in there. Montreal is considered a playoff team right now. So
you're talking about three really good teams, and the rest are like at best teams like Utah, Vancouver,
bubble teams. Yeah,
you know, Calgary, right? I think they play too.
No, Calgary not on their schedule.
Right. So, but these are the teams they're playing.
Yeah.
Like they're not a lot of great teams.
They've got seven games against non-playoff teams, a couple against bubble teams, and then Colorado, Winnipeg, Edmonton.
They kind of feel like they're the Preds of last year,
mm-hmm,
where they're getting really hot,
yep,
at the end of the season, and then they go into the playoffs being that super hot team. And if they're going to be that hot team, I mean, the Canucks might have to pick up 93, 94 points here to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So tonight, tomorrow night's game, you're right. It's not a must win, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's pretty damn close. Like, is this game
very close?
This game might be bigger than the game the Canucks played against the Flames.
Yeah, I think it is. To me, the St. Louis Blues are, and I said this over the last couple days. I said this to Bic on Monday. To me, St. Louis is your biggest threat to the wild card place.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Calgary. Like, I'm not a big believer in you. They had a nice result against the New York Rangers last night. But St. Louis, to me, is that team. They've been pretty good under Jim Montgomery ever since he took over at the end of November. Everybody talks about Utah's analytics and, oh, how great their underlying numbers are. Like, St. Louis is right there. They're the same. And they actually, by results, are a lot better than Utah because they actually score a lot of goals and they don't give up as much as the Utah Hockey Club. So if you're really like trying to be that guy that's like yelling to the top of the mountaintops, like, yeah, the Utah Hockey Club, they're the best team by the analytics. No, like if you look at since the coaching change, St. Louis is right there with Utah. They control a lot of the shots on the ice. They control a lot of the expected goals. All those things the fancy stats might say about a team, St. Louis does those and has done those really well. Does that guarantee them a spot in the playoffs? Obviously not. They're missing Colton Parayko. They've got a lot of things that are not the best about their team. But right now, they are absolutely clicking.
They are. And, you know, Broberg's been a nice fit. So they brought some youth to their team. And Dylan Holloway's having a tremendous season.
Speed. They got a lot speed in their top six.
Right? And even guys like Buchnevich haven't played at their best. Kyrou obviously brings speed. Thomas has had a good season. Jake Neighbors has come alive, scored a lot of goals here recently. And down to our lineup, like Zach Bolduc, how many goals does he have in their
six last? Goals since the Four Nations break.
So they're getting scoring throughout their lineup. And they even have a guy like Radek Faksa on their fourth line. I've been a big fan of his for many years here as far as the bottom six center goes. A lot of size, good defensively, good on the PK. Not very fast, but does a lot of good things. So even down their lineup, they have size, they have some physicality, they have some spine to their team, right? And there is some depth on the blue line. There isn't a super high end to them, but they have like legitimately six top six forwards.
So like,
it's not like you're talking about like six guys that aren't legitimate top six guys. Like these are six legitimate top six forwards.
I mean, you'd say Pettersson and Hughes are the two superstars that might be the reason you pick the Canucks to be the better team over the Blues. But if you look at the Blues top six, like they've got five legitimate top six forwards in their top six.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way that Holloway and Neighbors have been playing lately, especially, whereas the Canucks, you would say Pettersson and you would say Besser.
And I mean, I'd say if we're including guys like Shen and obviously, and Neighbors, then Jake DeBrusk with his 22 goals would fit in there. So you'd say three, and with Garland four.
Yeah.
But they probably have a couple more that are legitimate, right? And I think that's where, you know, the issue's been here for Vancouver. You're right. And you kind of need a couple more guys. But the Canucks have something they don't have, and that's Quinn Hughes, obviously,
They have a star-level player that the Blues just don't have.
And I don't even think the Blues are a good team. Mm-hmm. Like, they're fine. They're on a good run. And like Mike in the Valley says, if you look at who they've played, it's not exactly a murderer's row, which is true. But the remaining schedule is also not murderer's row. At the end of the day, it's about how many points are you going to get. And they do have an advantage on Vancouver strength of schedule-wise, which brings us back to the point. You're right, Reach. I agree. Got to win the game tomorrow.
Yeah. Blues are your biggest threat to the wild card spot. That's the way you have to look at it if you're the Canucks. A absolutely massive game in St. Louis tomorrow. We'll have all of it for you here on Sports at 650. Sat and I will be on at 3 o'clock tomorrow and get you ready for a 5 o'clock putt drop in St. Louis. All right, coming up, Kevin Woodley going to join us. His take on the Blues, how real are they? And we'll also get to how the Canucks solved the best goalie in the league's best defense last night. Woodley's take is next on Canucks Central.